Petaluma, California. Inside Petaluma. I'm Cindy Thomas, and I'll co-host the show with Peter Thompson and Jason Davies, who is not here today.
So it's just us. So
my God, it's so loud.
competition for the
mic.
The mic.
That's right.
Well, it's a good Friday.
Sorry, Jason. We're going to be mic hogs today.
I like that. The women are taking over.
That's right.
Yes. Which we have probably a better society if women did take the lead.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit more compassion. So.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. My second favorite F word.
Oh. I get that.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, so can we talk about a few things that are in the newspaper today?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one thing is I want to say that it is very sad that in Roanoke Park, a woman and her two dogs appear on suicide with a smart train. And that's really sad, and this is a problem. And so we want to go back with a quick little story about SMART.
So it was an intentional death.
It was an intentional, it was a suicide. Well, that's what apparently it's saying here.
Are they saying whether it's a local or a transient? Or
it didn't say.
Wow.
Yeah, and so more information is coming out, but it is really sad. But I have to say SMART is on top of this, and it's just something that happens. In Palo Alto, there's this happens a lot.
Hmm.
And this is an area where, you know, very wealthy families, and it doesn't really matter whether, you know, you're homeless, you have a lot of money, there's still emotional problems going on, and jumping in front of a train seems to be a means of suicide, which is sad.
Very desperate act.
Very desperate act. The other thing is there's an article about a styrofoam ban, which I think would be really great, but there's also a myth that people need to realize is that if you take the styrofoam away or if you're asked to stop using so many paper products, people are really not asking you to take away your paper products. It's about buying ones that are biodegradable, more responsible, and so that's kind of a myth that people think that we're taking it away.
No, you just look for the substitution.
You're looking for the substitution. And what we found out is with one of the guests is that the substitution doesn't necessarily go into, it goes into the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of changes that need to go on with our landfill and how we actually deal with that type of waste. Another thing is, I just wanted to mention that a woman by the name of Michelle Rosen passed away, and her it's interesting, she's actually related to one of my cousins, you know, separate,
mm-hmm.
Separate sides, but they had a cleaners in, her dad's name was Leslie, and they had a cleaners in Cotati called Tip Top Cleaners.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah. And so it's really sad because she was kind of the glue that kept that family together because they had some tragedies, sad moments. And so I'm sorry about that. And then today I just wanted, you know, briefly talk about the reindeer discussion last Monday at the city council meeting. What the council is finally saying that the only way to pay for this project is to open up lands for development. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to do is you're opening up all this lands for housing, and then you're saying you're going to get traffic relief. The city has paid, with this J.P. Morgan loan, $11.5 million loan that they took out.
Mm-hmm.
They put a big chunk of that into Rainier, but they keep saying that Measure M, which was the transportation tax, is paying for this, but it's not. The citizens actually took this J.P. Morgan loan out and at one point was paying $40,000 a month interest. And so I'm actually asking for that information to find out how much more that loan has before it's paid off and how much the city is paying. Because transportation, it's a big subject and there's a lot of misinformation going on as far as cost. And the one most disappointing thing about the conversation was the Corona overcrossing was not included, which was built in 1956, It's substandard for pedestrians, bikes, cars, trucks, and it's a major thoroughfare because of all the development now going on Sonoma Mountain Parkway connecting to Corona. And so I think it's short-sighted not to include that because that's a $20 million project versus an $80 to $88 million project. And Corona could be get state funds. Rainier will not. And the other thing is there was talk about upping the Measure M for transportation to extend that. And they're also talking about extending the SMART tax. Hmm. And I actually support extending the SMART tax because as traffic gets worse and worse in our community, and the county's going to grow. We can't when you bring a train in, you've actually voted for growth. And 101 can only be widened to three lanes, so it's really important that we have this train as another means of transportation. And in 20 years, people will see that success, even though I'll probably be dead in 20 years. But younger people will see that success, and so I think it's important. And the most disappointing thing about the conversation, besides Corona not being in it, one council member basically said, people that got up and spoke are basically aren't the people he represents, not exactly what he said. And that he felt as though the people that really, you know, that he was representing wasn't in the room. Well, everybody can come into the room. Everybody's invited.
Who's done that?
Gabe. Wow. Gurney. Yeah, I mean, it was shocking. You're sitting there going, oh, so we're like chopped liver? You know, here we go. We go to a meeting, we speak out. And David Keller and I said kind of the same thing. We never collaborated in anything because he and I know this information. And that was really disappointing to hear that from a council member.
Yeah.
You know, but not a surprise. And then
you're supposed to be representing the entire city. We don't have districts.
Well, exactly, exactly. And so he seems to be a little confused on that, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
But also, the Redwood Club is closing. It was opened in 1986, and I think, and it's closing because of the cost of rent and competition,
with offering lower memberships.
Exactly. Yeah.
So well, I'm a member at Redwood.
Right.
I'm about to be an ex-member of Redwood.
Yeah, same with Jerry.
Mm-hmm. And I've already found my new gym, so.
Where's your new gym?
I'm going to go to Synergy.
Oh, you are? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you, is it Kaiser?
No, that's
what St. Joseph, you're right. Right, right.
St. Joseph's.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. It's a non-denominational effort I'm making.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that later, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I got to do something.
Yeah. Speaking of health, I want to mention that it's time to get your flu shot, if that's what you choose to do. And it would be a smart choice, as far as I'm concerned. I've just retired 25 years from Kaiser and got a flu shot every year. And knock on wood, I have maybe gotten the flu twice.
I get
a very, very light, you know, case of it. Not anything severe. And this year I got mine this week, and they are now offering a super dose vaccine for people over 65.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I want a super dose.
I did, and I'm fine.
Okay, well, I'll revenge that as you're sitting around ticking like this. Oh, no, you're fine. Not a problem. Yeah, well, I think it's important that people do get their flu shots.
But some people are just skeptical to it.
And
they feel that they get sick, which I think is a psychological thing, that they get the flu when they get the shot. Yeah. Anyway.
So I will get mine. I'll get mine either today or Monday. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah. And although we are an Inside Petaluma show, I just want to applaud Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, the thing with Nancy Pelosi is she's strategic. She's extremely smart. And when people came in and, you know, and she can count.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing about the Speaker of the House. You need to be able to count.
Mm-hmm.
And she's counting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but, you know,
we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens because, you know, Margo and I, we have a history of what it's like to have family, at least myself, you know, killed in the Holocaust. And I just think of my mother and my dad even, and what they would be thinking today, because both their grandparents, they never got to meet their grandparents or their favorite aunts or their favorite cousins because they were murdered. So,
and our listeners are saying, who is Margot?
Exactly. That's kind of like a segue. I like that.
Yeah,
I think so.
All right.
Who is Margot?
Here on Inside Petaluma today, we have two guests. We have Abraham Salar and Margot Gallagher, who are co-chairs of the El Dia de los Muertos Petaluma, along with Gloria McAllister, who is not here with us today. So, good morning, you two, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Cindy and Janice, for having us.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
We're very excited about this year's events.
Yeah, and a big event it's going to be. I've got the program here of events, and it's a two-pager.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
I mean, it is. It's days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Days of the Dead. That's why.
Yeah, it's most every weekend in October, and then the first weekend of November.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, who wants to explain to the listeners what exactly El Dia de los Muertos is?
Well, thank you again for having us here. It's exciting to be here and to share with the Petaluma community and the whole Sonoma and around Petaluma cities about El Dia de los Muertos. And El Dia de los Muertos is a celebration that different cultures in Mexico, Central America, and South America.
And translated, what does that mean?
The Day of the Dead.
Yes. Okay.
And cultures celebrate and they honor the life by celebrating the final days in the on the side of the living part of the human culture, but then there is different traditions in the different cultures that believe that life goes on after you are here in the living part of it.
Kind of like an afterlife party.
Right, right. That there is always something else, and, and the fun doesn't end.
The next level.
Yes, the next level. So we here in Petaluma, we celebrate the life, and even though it's this Day of the Dead, but we celebrate the life, and we have a nice opportunity to come together, no matter what culture you belong to, no matter what race, we just open the space and time and to honor your loved ones that have departed, and everybody has one. Everybody has a relative or a friend who has passed away and who left your legacy in your heart and in your mind. And that is what we celebrate here in Petaluma through different means of art. We celebrate the life of the people who loved us, and or we heard stories about them, and they touch our lives. So we continue to touch all the people's lives, and it's important in the community, in your family, to share the stories and to share the legacy that somebody has left you. And that is what the focus of the Day of the Dead celebration in Petaluma, and the different parts of the celebration that we do during the month of October. And because the celebration itself in the Mexican culture, you celebrate it on October 31st. That's for small kids, for little souls that have passed away. And then the first for people who lost their life in accidents, kind of like the smart lady, you know, would be celebrated on the first, and then the second for your relatives who pass away and for some other causes. And but the celebration is coming together with the family, friends, and then you share stories, you share meals, and then and it's just coming together and share the love of the people that has left us, but they're still in our hearts and in our minds. So that's what we celebrate here in Petaluma. And this year, it's our 19th year. So It's been terrific. It's been many years, and it originated here thanks to Margie Helm. Many people know her. She's,
of course, we all know.
Activist, she's a loving person,
kind,
and a woman,
kind of loving, yeah. As well as her husband Chip.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. And also thanks to Trey,
yes,
their son, and I think that was the purpose of his life, and everybody's life has a plan here, you know, for your life. No matter how short or how long your life goes, everybody has a
just so people understand that Margie and Chip, they had a son, Trey, mm-hmm. and he was killed in a mm-hmm. in an accident.
Right.
And they have opened their hearts to other people and have made a change and positive for other people with their son's death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember when I was campaigning one year, I went to the door and I knocked on their door, and she introduced me to him. And I see that to this day, that mm-hmm. beautiful young man, young boy,
mm-hmm.
at the door. And Margie was introducing him to me. And it was just so loving and caring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we all, you know, have these memories.
Right.
And
right.
It's so important to keep, you know, people's memories open and uh-huh. alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Janice, for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
yeah, that's what she came. I work at St. Vincent de Paul Church with the Latino community and as a director of pastoral work. And then she came to me and she came to the secretaries, and I had put up an altar inside the church, and then she came just to reflect on Trey's life, and then she saw the altar, and then she was curious, and then she got interested, and then she asked the secretaries who did that. So she called me, and then she said, Abraham, this is loving and lovely, and would you be interested in bringing this to the community? And I said, yes, you know. And there's, yeah, and then Gloria joined in, and then other members of the community, as you know, Margie, you know, she's a connector to the very important.
She's an organizer.
People.
She's
yes.
an organizer. Yeah. And Rosa Sanchez.
Rosa Sanchez.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's, of course, many people's hairdresser in Denver.
Yes.
But she did an altar for my mom and her brothers and sisters. So her family, because my mom was part of the Fishman family.
Uh-huh.
And I think she did one for the Caters, too, on both sides. This is, you know, like four or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was really special to walk in and see your family members being honored.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell us a little bit about the altars and the meaning of the altars and why they are built?
Yeah, and so the altars, when you build an altar, you have the opportunity to honor just one individual or different people. If you are honoring your relative or your friend, you put certain features in your objects in your altar.
So this is typically a table in your home with some kind of drape on it, and
right.
yeah,
make it colorful,
yes.
make it fun, make it festive, and you add up the items that that person used to enjoy or prefer in life, like art pieces or music and food and. You can like have pieces of clothing, and you can add up different stuff. Of course, there's some special elements. You put water, you know, because the belief is that during those days the souls travel from the dead body to the living part of life. So it's a long journey back, and so when they come here with us again, they are very thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
But also you put salt in case of there's still some flesh on them. You put salt on the altar. You put a mirror so they look at themselves and they they have to look good, you know, for us to meet again. You put ashes on, in some towns in Mexico, ashes just as a sign of that we turn into earth again, you know, into ashes. And also you put the special, the traditional sugar skulls, which in Mexico you can, they make them out of chocolate, gummy skulls, chia seeds, and honey. Yeah, you can make them that's with the, all the ingredients that you have, seeds, yeah. And it's very, very, very interesting. And you even put a mat on in the front of the altar, because it's a place where they can rest after the long journey. Yeah, so different items that have a meaning. And you can put candles, and then you put also the marigolds. The marigolds have a special meaning because they're, in some of the Mexican culture of Nahuatl culture, means the flower of the sun. So because of the many petals and the radiant color and each petal, you know, coming from the center out, it just shines, you know, as when you see the marigolds. And the aroma, the smell, also helps the your loved one that is far away, remind them that it's time to come back and share again some time. And then also you can even put some, get the petals out of the flower and put a tray. Like a little...
just dropping
them. Yeah.
Like a trail. Yeah.
Like a trail from your door to the altar, so that they, because of the color of the marigolds, it's very, very intense. So, you know, you can just spread it on the altar, because it's a symbol, you know, that it's time for them to come and share life again. Yeah.
So, Marco, how did you get involved in this? And, you know, being of a different culture, you know, how do you, you know, see this? Because it's certainly different than probably you and I were raised.
Right.
As far as, you know, death and, you know, and afterlife and, yeah.
Yeah. So, in 2001, between 2001 and 2003, I lost my mother, husband, and son, all in a two-year period. And I had other kids at home, and needless to say, you know, it was obviously a really difficult time. But what was so difficult, I learned through this, I just thought you died and you were done. I didn't get any of this. Like, it was so sad to me. It was so horrible. Like, they were just gone. And one day I was driving downtown and I see the Aztec dancers at the plaza. And I just pulled my car over and stopped, and I was just mesmerized. And then I started walking around. I couldn't get this whole thing out of my head, and I saw altars in the windows, and I thought, what? This is amazing. So I did a bunch of research, and I already knew Margie, and she said, yeah, you know, bring an altar, you know, make an altar of your son, your whoever. And anyway, very immediately I became a volunteer and worked with Margie, and then I just worked my way up, and I've been on the committee. It's been 14 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just been wonderful, because I feel like you're never truly gone as long as you're remembered. And so I bring my altar downtown to the mail depot every year of my son, and usually my husband, and sometimes my mom too, it just depends. And I love introducing them to the community, because they were part of this community, especially my son. He grew up here. He was 20 when he passed. So he has a lot of friends, and I love sharing him, and I love so much about the arts and the culture of Latin America. And when I was young, my mom was very much into the culture of Mexico, and we would go to Mexico, and she had art all over the house, and it was a real special connection I had with her. And so I'm the person, well, I help with everything, but I help place the altars in the downtown area. And there's a lot of people that it's their first time bringing an altar down, and I know, because I remember how nervous I was about that, and there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of tears, but it's very, every single altar that the community brings down to our downtown area is beautiful in its own way. Mm-hmm. And it could be a flower, a picture frame, and a photo, you know, and maybe a battery-operated candle. And to a really elaborate, you know, traditional altar. But they all mean something to every person that puts it down there. And so that's my story.
That's quite a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And I think this is a non-denominational practice. You know, you don't have to be a Catholic. You don't have to be a Protestant. You don't have to be anything. Just a believer in that the afterlife is, it does exist.
Yeah. When you celebrate the love, you know, the love of a family member, a friend, even a pet, you know, which becomes a family member. And, we have had some altar makers that dedicate their altar to their pets because they were important. They were in their heart, and they're still part of their heart. And also, we have found out that in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, the culture allows them to honor their loved ones who have passed away. Yeah, so
I saw that when I was in China. I was there for 3 weeks and traveled the whole country, and there were altars everywhere, and they always had food and water too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So during this time of the year, we have different events, and one of the events that we start the celebration is with we combine the ironically and contradictory, but we celebrate the official opening of the Day of the Dead with the health fair, and
with the health fair.
Yeah, with the health fair.
Wow.
In front of St. Vincent de Paul's
Church,
on the plaza. We invite different organizations. The Petaluma Health Center will be there.
Kaiser Permanente is there.
I
used to go there when I worked there and work the table.
Apparently.
Yeah, so they're going to do doing the glucose measurement, cholesterol, blood pressure, so PHC will be there. We'll have the library. We have dental services. We'll have, of course, part of health is registration to vote.
Absolutely.
Margie will help us with that. Also, Katrina from restaurant, what was it called? Nopalito restaurant. Used to be here on Washington. Yeah, so different organizations and agencies will be there just to provide information and education to the participants. And we do it after the mass, the Spanish mass, so that we can have the Latino community come in and educate themselves about the different services, because sometimes some of the families, you know, they lack the language or the connection with the community, so they learn there that they can, their services in the community, that they can participate, and it's fun. We will have food for sale, and Mexican food, Salvadorian pupusas, taquitos, different food, and churros. But also, we're going to have Aztec dancers and ballet folklorico.
Okay.
And maybe I'm working on the Zumba session with school, because it's a health fair.
Right, exactly. That's great.
Okay, so that's what happens on opening day, correct?
Yes, that is October 6th, this coming Sunday at 12 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not this coming Sunday, the
following Sunday. Oh, the following Sunday, I'm sorry,
You're ahead of yourself. You have a handful of other events. You want to go through the schedule here and tell us everything that's going to be going on?
Okay, I'll start with the following event after that would be on October 12th at 6 o'clock at the Petaluma Mail Depot. And so we are having our artist reception there. Usually Maureen at the Mail Depot has her own really fun Day of the Dead event, and then we have our artist reception this year. We're combining the two.
Nice.
And that's at 6 o'clock. So we have a featured artist, and his name is Eddie De Leon, and he is from Guatemala. He's from here, but he's originally from Guatemala. And he's a photographer, and he just does some of the most beautiful, soulful photographs of pictures that he takes in Guatemala. And he's very proud of the country, and he's going to talk a lot about that. He's going to actually, his mom is coming, and she's going to be making some food, Guatemalan food, and he's going to be selling that.
Mm.
I think tamales, I'm not exactly sure. And then Cafe Puente, are you all familiar with Cafe Puente here?
I am not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Café Puente is an organization that reaches out the English speaking community and opens up space and to invite English speaking members of the community to learn and to share and to educate themselves on the Latino community on Spanish. So it's an organization that helps to bridge different cultures on their events, and on their events they have people speaking but also they break up into small rooms, into small groups, and they have a Spanish native Spanish speakers or students from Spanish speaking families, and share about their lives, their culture, their families. So it's a fun fun environment and fun way to learn.
How does the Latino community feel as far as what's going on in the country? Are you fearful? I mean, within Petaluma and your the community that you're connected with at the church.
Yeah, in general, with what's happening in the environment of a hostile environment, it's a scary situation for many families. Yeah. They're discouraged and they're having a hard time dealing with the hateful.
Or just understanding why the hate is there
and the hope of having a life or getting a immigration status is disappearing, you know, with this environment.
Yeah.
And because there are people who have been living here 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
And there's the chance to reach out the freedom of living comfortably and not hiding in the shadow.
Not in fear.
Yeah, but we try to with these celebrations, you know, and that's why it's important for Café Puente.
Right, exactly. That's why I was segueing into that.
Too, because I feel like this is where you learn in your community when you're young, and we're sharing a very beautiful culture and a very beautiful experience through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having a lot of fun at the same time. And also, just to go back to the 12th, Café Puente is going to have a big tent outside of the Mail Depot with headphones, kind of an interactive art experience. So I hope you guys can all come out there and see that.
And that's on Saturday, October 12th from 6 to 9.
Yeah, and I also want to say that all of our events are free of charge. There's no cost. We do really appreciate donations, and we do exist by our donations. Mm-hmm. We need them, but we do not charge.
Do you have some sponsors?
We're still trying to get our nonprofit status, and we're very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping to by next year. You know, next year will be our 20th year. It'll be the year 2020. We're hoping to be nonprofit, and we hope to have grants by then. So
great.
That's our hope.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, it takes time to go from point A to point B, and sometimes it takes 20, 30 years. And, and that's the same way.
We're there.
And you're there. No, I think that's great.
Yeah, maybe for the 20th anniversary, we'll have somebody, a great donator, donate fireworks.
Okay, so I want to get through the schedule because there's a lot on here and only so much time. So what's next on the schedule?
So that's the next one is October 18th. We have a Poetry of Remembrance, Poesía del Recuerdo. That's organized by John Johnson. And that's in collaboration with the Santa Rosa JC Petaluma campus. We'll have it, that event from 6 to 8 at Connie Mahoney Reading Room in the campus library at the Petaluma campus, Santa Rosa JC. And in that event, people come and read poetry and for their own creations or a favorite poem from that they feel that it's touched their heart because it's related to their loved one that they want to honor during that event. So it's we have a guest speakers or poets, and we'll have a bilingual poet, Javis Churchill, and then we have a Horace Gander, and recipient of the 2019 Pulitzer Prize for Poetry, and everything is hosted by the JC and the El Día de los Muertos. So it's a fun evening.
Okay, and that's a Friday evening, October 18th from 6 to 9.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
And it's free of charge, and just like Michael said. Oh. Yeah, you just come and then maybe at the end there's some pan dulce to share.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes. So are you aware of Literacy Works? And what? Because I'm on the Literacy Works Friends Board.
Okay.
And it's great because we bring Latino young people in to get them educated and go through the junior college.
Right.
And a lot of it is it's paid for through grants. And this last year, 8 of them went to colleges, and I think 4 of them went to UC schools. And you know, some of these young men were troubled at an earlier age, and then we talked to others have just immigrated here and they just wanted better their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of exciting being on this board and just seeing what it has really done, because people come here because they want to make sure that their children can get the education.
Right.
So families come here, the parents work super hard,
mm-hmm.
and get their children educated, make sure that they own homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have recent experience with a young man that worked at the bank that I worked at, and he shared with me some personal feelings of what it was like for him being a student at Casa Grande.
Mm-hmm.
He's 27 now.
Wow.
He just got married.
Nice.
And he's an educated young man.
Yeah.
But he was just tormented as a young Latino man at Casa Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents just recently built a house, and they have this statue in front of the house, a Mexican flag, and then the American flag, and there's a third flag there, I believe. And I was on this next door site, and it was so shocking. People commenting about who are these people, why do they have this up, and I finally wrote offline to this woman that these are really lovely people.
Right.
And
I think it is. So just sort of explain why, a big reason why we do what we do, because you get to know each other. We're neighbors, and we all have more in common than what separates us.
Exactly.
We have a lot to learn from each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
Just to go back to this list, so the following day after that would be the LumaFest at the SRJC, and that is on the 19th, and I believe that's 11, 10, or 10 to 3.
And that's a Saturday, so everybody can go.
It's sort of an educational event, but a whole lot of fun, and that's probably the one event I would recommend bringing your kids to.
Right.
We are going to have a whole bunch of tables with sugar skulls for decorating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. The kids love it. You can do it, with your parents, kids with their parents, or anyone can make them, and we also do tissue paper and flower making. And then they have a lot of entertainment, a lot of booths, sort of educational, but also just, like I said, just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
they also have some, they're going to have some altars there, beautifully decorated by the different student groups, student clubs, or ESL classes. And they have Aztec dancer, mariachi music, ballet folklorico, or ballet folklorico Petaluma. Joyful Heart, Paquillo Yotzin, Ballet Folklorico, and that Ballet Folklorico has been with El Día de los Muertos for 10 years already.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of a brother or a sister of El Día de los Muertos celebration.
And I just want to add that it is the most beautiful ballet, and I can never get enough of it. I love it more than anything. It's Abraham, and you can maybe talk more about it, but it is something to be seen. Don't miss it. It's just beautiful, and they dance out. You can explain more about different regions of Mexico and the beautiful, colorful dresses, and it just takes you somewhere.
Right.
It's something.
Tradition is so important, and as people immigrated here, the children are losing the tradition, because Margo and I were talking. When I was young, we'd be sitting around the table and all the adults were around the table and the kids were there playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't unusual to get in what my, they would call it the machine at the time, and take a ride with your grandparents to go visit somebody. You didn't have to have an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to call and say, hey, can I come over?
Right.
And it was just more family-oriented, and that is dissipating. And then you see people of your culture mm-hmm. that, I mean, family is very important, and mm-hmm. the tradition. I mean, it's the dancing. I was just at a Jewish wedding, and it's the dancing. It's, you know, when the couple is in the chairs, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then you're doing the different dances, and everybody loves it, mm-hmm. and it's part of a tradition. But then we kind of walk away, and we're hoping to get that experience again, and yet every mm-hmm. year for 20 years mm-hmm. almost, you're bringing yeah. cultural experience that everybody had at one point, mm-hmm. and you don't want to lose it. I have two of my granddaughters are in Spanish immersion in Davis, mm. and my youngest was quite upset when somebody was elected president because mm-hmm. she was fearful for her friends. Mm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I feel really lucky that they had the experience of their very good friends were Spanish-speaking families.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of entertainment, our closing event procession is all about, well, it's about a lot of things, but for me it's all about entertainment. It is so much fun. It's going to be at the fairgrounds, Petaluma mm-hmm. Fairgrounds, on Saturday, November 2nd, which is the actual date, 4 to 10 o'clock. And I'm going to let Abraham talk about that, but because he sets up most of the entertainment. And but we will have a lot of vendor booths with arts and crafts, mm-hmm. and the food itself is worth going right. to just for the food. Like, I've been thinking about it, you know, already.
Mm-hmm. I'm gaining weight thinking about
yeah.
it.
No, my mouth is salivating thinking about it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, the food is, you would think, you know, that you go to a Mexican restaurant, you have all the different Mexican food. No, go to the procession event on November 2nd, and you will have
real traditional
food from the different yeah. states of Mexico, and something that like garnachas. You don't know garnachas? You know, little tortillas with vegetables and some potato, and then kind of with little. Oil on the grill, they're delicious, it's simple, vegetarian, but delicious, and they don't serve those in the restaurants.
Right.
And everything is cooked there, we don't bring right. in the trucks or anything, so it just smells amazing when you walk around, anyway.
Yeah, and then we'll have also Ballet Folklorico, Paquillo Jotzin will be there. The Ballet Folklorico have grown now. Now we have, they've been working with these little kids, and the Spanish-speaking kids, and it's fun because to see those, we have 4 or 5-year-old girls, really tiny with the elaborated dresses, and really moving the dresses like the adults. And they're so cute, you know, they look like like a little birds, you know, when they take a bath in the water. Yeah, they're so cute, so cute.
Oh, what a great visual. I love yeah. that description.
Yeah. And then we'll have, last year we invited the group, the Los Diablos.
My favorite.
The devil.
Yeah.
And this, yeah. those, this scary mask of the devil, but the... But as they dance and they whip they make noises with their whip. I mean, we were hesitant of bringing them, but people enjoy them, and then they join to dance with them. The kids were dancing around them, so it's fun. It's just
you can literally dance with the devil.
That's right. Exactly. It's a fun dance. And then
I've done that before.
In a different way, yeah.
yeah.
We're working on the mariachi group so that we can bring them. And also we'll have, at the end, we'll have, in the middle of the event, like around 6-ish, when the October sky starts to turn like...
it was like pink and blues and all pretty colors.
Pretty start turning to blue. We'll have an inside procession in the fairgrounds with the Aztec dancers and all the dancers, and we invite the people to honor their loved ones. And we just work on, we're going to work in a circle.
So it's candlelight. So bring a candle, a battery operator. Yeah.
Has this been done at the fairgrounds in the past?
Just 1 year ago, last year.
Mm-hmm. So I like that you know, you have a bigger area so more people can come.
And we'll do it again in the fairground because with the environment of the shooting, we're collaborating with the police so that they have a better control and the better they're going to be checking us out, and then we'll have
security. So most people really enjoy it downtown because that's sort of where it needs to be celebrated. But we feel we want to keep our community safe,
right.
and there's one entrance, one exit, and mm-hmm. they give you guards at the fairgrounds, and I actually think it's a really beautiful space.
Right. I was happy that it was there, and it's interesting, you know, just the fear. And right. So what's the experience working with the police? They've been very cooperative.
They're wonderful. The local police are great. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. They work with us and not against us, and they, you know, I feel lucky to have some of them.
I think we have a good police chief. And is good.
Yes. And I just want to also say really quickly that Heebie-Jeebies downtown at the Breezeway does have a community altar for anyone in the community that doesn't want to make an altar and wants to just bring a picture down. And it fills up. It's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And we will have some traditional altars throughout town. But that is the one for the community. And I do have some space left if anyone in the community would like to create an altar. There's no requirement other than I just say to be respectful. That's my only requirement. Mm-hmm. They can contact me. And go to our Facebook page, which is El Dia de los Muertos Petaluma. Mm-hmm. And you can find all the information, updates, pictures. Just email, message one of us, me, if you'd like to create an altar. I still have a little bit of, probably next week I'll be done, but in the next week if you'd like to bring an altar downtown, let me know.
Mm-hmm. So the official altar walk starts on October 20th, correct?
It's really loose. Just message me if you want me to take downtown and walk around, and we'll get a group of people.
And then there's a walk map on your Facebook page, which is...
In theory, we hope to.
What is your Facebook page?
El Dia de los Muertos Petaluma.
Yeah, let me say something about the image of this year. The image for this year is a piece of from a friend of us. Also, she has participated in previous years with El Dia de los Muertos. Her name is Elizabeth Schlatt.
And what Abraham is talking about now is a poster, which you can't see, but he's describing for you right now the actual poster that you'll see about town.
The image for this year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is a skeleton kneeling down with some monarchs reaching out to the life, and the monarch is a symbol of transcending. You know, as a part of life, you move out into you take a journey of life, and in that journey, you may lose your life, but it's you're still a part of life.
And the skeleton has a nice bold red heart.
Yeah, it does.
Full of life.
Yeah, this is our theme. Love transcends.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. I've seen that hanging in the Petaluma Mail Depot. So if you want to see the image, go down and see Mo at the Mail Depot.
They put them throughout town, so you can see them. And you can also buy these posters at our opening event, and we believe our T-shirts will be ready as well. So you can buy a T-shirt with this image on it. So if you collect those each year.
When are the T-shirts going to be available?
They should be by the opening event.
October 6th.
Are they going to be, like, really tiny in comparison to size like last year?
Well, actually,
I got a 5XL, and it was pretty tight.
I know. Everywhere we go, we have that same problem. And I really just upped the sizes. We've tried really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's that size. I mean, the little tiny.
Yeah.
Last year, we were better.
They were a little bit better last year,
We like to say we have mature bodies.
Yeah, but still, I'm not a 5XL.
That's true.
No way.
That's true.
Anyway, okay, so I'm excited.
Do you work with the visitors program to promote this? I mean, it's like you have a walking tour, it sounds like. And, you know, Petaluma has a walking tour of homes and trees and...
Yeah.
So.
I do, but it's really loosely based. I learn about everybody's altars and about the people that make them, and then I just do it verbally. Like, I don't go on the computer. I feel like it's kind of disrespectful in a way to kind of be posting everybody's sacred spaces.
Right.
So I just learn it, and I walk and talk, and which is very old-fashioned, but that's how I do it. And if I get permission, sometimes people will allow me to post and share on, you know, they like that. Some people don't. But I believe it's very sacred space, and I don't touch it. Any altar, this is how they set it up, and I'll tell you what I know, and that's it. You know, so if anybody's interested, they can just, you know, ask me.
But I'm just wondering, through the visitors program, do people actually connect with you and say, like, a group of six? I mean,
there's actually classrooms that come every year.
Right.
Okay.
There's English as a second language, which is so much fun. It's, I love doing it. So, but
good.
So we have more people, more volunteers, and you know, we aren't spread quite as thin. I'll just do it this kind of casually right now.
Yeah, no, I think so. Just appreciate everything that you do.
How about I tell you and we'll go out to lunch afterwards?
I would love to. That would be great. I know, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about.
I think so.
I know. Well, you know, it just makes you really think about, you know, family and family that's died. You know, you think about it, but, you know, after this conversation today, you really look at it very differently. Mm-hmm. And you know, when somebody dies, they really are still alive in your heart.
Right.
And, you know, in your mind, and just, you know, it's like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're always seeing those moments. And whether it's the favorite dog, like we had a Bonnie that I still have pictures of, you know, to my parents now, because my mom, it's going to be 4 years for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I do miss her.
Right.
And, you know, think of all the, and there's just so much to remember and think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
It also reminds you to remember people while they're still alive, too, and
well,
to treat them as if, you know, it's their last day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, that also with the sugar skulls or chocolate skull, you can also give to somebody who is living. Yeah. A special friend, you have a loving connection or a strong relationship, you hand him a sugar skull.
I don't know that.
And you even write the name on the forehead because it's special for you, that person.
Huh. And that's with the sugar skull as
sugar
well
skull,
as a
chocolate
skull?
Or gum
anything
skull.
Sweet?
Anything sweet. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not an insult.
I'm going to have to go make some skulls then.
I love
October 19th. Sweet.
Yeah.
Let's go October 19th.
Oh, okay, that sounds good.
Great skulls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, again, we have been speaking with Abraham Salar and Margot Gallagher, who are co-chairs, along with Gloria McAllister, of the El Dia de los Muertos Petaluma this year and have been for many years. So what we will do is we will put this schedule here up on our website, which is Inside Petaluma. And so you know, this show is being recorded and will be available on our website in a couple of days if any of your community wants to go back and listen to it.
The link, we can copy the link and put it on the Facebook.
Right, because I'm looking at your Facebook on it, and you have a lot of information and dates on there.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for this opportunity. We invite everyone in the community and beyond to come to all of our events. We welcome you and look us up and say hi.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to meet you.
I have to say, I really wasn't sure what I'd be, you know, asking today. I was a little bit, you know, taken back because, you know, normally I like to be really prepared.
Right.
And I feel like you have just educated myself and the community. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
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 And making me really think. And, you know, because death is an odd thing. I mean, I've always had this thing with death, and it has never been super positive.
Right.
And, you know, as you get older, I think you realize the beauty is remembering people.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
We all have in
common.
Yeah, exactly. There's one thing we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
That's death.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
We have a heart. We all have a heart.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so again, thank you for being here, and we have a couple of things that are going on this weekend. The Beer Fest is going on down at Water Street,
that's
the
true.
Chamber of Commerce, so if you're going to go down there, make sure you get a designated driver.
Exactly.
Take public transit.
Take an Uber or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it because I have a birthday party on Saturday.
Yeah.
And from 1 to 6. What's a birthday party starting at 1 for an adult? I have no idea. So I'm missing the beer festival.
Oh, well.
Darn.
Yeah. PCA will have a booth down there, and KPCA will be broadcasting live from there. So stop in and say hi to us.
What time are you going to be there?
We're going to broadcast from 2 to 4.
Oh, from 2 to 4. Okay.
There's only so much you can do down there, you know.
Oh,
after a while, about 4 o'clock, you don't want to put anybody on the air that's been down there all day. Yeah, that could be dangerous. We don't have a sensor button.
I kind of want to go back to, you know, having this at the fairgrounds because, you know, the fairgrounds property. Go ahead, Cindy.
We've got like 2 minutes left. I have to make this one announcement for the Boy Scouts of America. The 7th Annual Petaluma Community Emergency Preparedness Fair and Blood Drive is on Sunday the 29th at Walnut Park, and that's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and there's going to be free hands-on demonstrations including CPR, first aid, emergency survival camping, and Dutch oven cooking.
Hmm.
Have you ever cooked on a Dutch oven?
I have.
It's fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
In case like power outage and stuff, mm-hmm. you have to be prepared.
Yes. This is a great thing.
No, it is actually a great thing.
It is free. So the mayor's going to be down there. That's going to be from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Walnut Park. And mm-hmm. everybody knows that's right there, smack dab in the middle of town by mm-hmm. The Boulevard and D Street. So get on down there. There's a free emergency gift given to the first 100 families, and refreshments and a bake sale is also available.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, we have 1 minute left. And I will say, again, you can go to our Facebook page at KPCA Inside Petaluma or our website, insidepetaluma.com, and hear past episodes, including this one, and find other links that we have mentioned today and on other days on our shows.
Great.
So with that said, thank you again, Abraham and Margo.
Thank you.
Enjoy your month celebration.
Mm-hmm.
We'll join with you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.